In the city of Los Angeles, a homeless drifter finds his way in search of a job. He meets a street preacher warning him that they will recruit the rich and powerful to control us, humanity. It's up to this drifter, Nada, to find what is happening to Los Angeles and the world at large as they live!
Alright, lights, camera, action. Now where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, mate. How you going?
G'day, folks. How you going? Here is the Lethal Mullet live on, of course, the Facebook page. That is at the Lethal Mullet on Facebook. And of course, here we're going to be chatting today about a classic film. Without a doubt, probably one of the better John Carpenter films. They're all good, as far as I can and see, and have enjoyed over the years. The amazing work of this director who, you know, just delivers everything from comedy to action to sci-fi, and definitely is a low-budget king when it comes down to how he's able to outdo Roger Corman when it comes to these fantastic movies. And particularly They Live, which is, you know, it's political satire, it's comedy, it's action. It's one movie that he doesn't have Kurt Russell in, which is, of course, his, you know, if it's Martin Scorsese, it'd be Robert De Niro. In this case, you know, this is his Robert De Niro, Kurt Russell, who's usually fantastic. In this one, of course, as Nada, we have the amazing and late great, of course, Roddy Piper. He's fantastic in this. As the man with no name, if you like, in this Western. And, of course, here on episode number 229, They Live. Actually, just before I put this out, I still thought it was episode number 228, which will be coming out in 2 days for you anyway. It's pre-recorded. But I'm so pumped about looking at this film, this new Classics Remastered Edition, which we're about to talk about very, very soon. And I got to say, folks, I'm excited, and I'm sure you're out there today, you know, you'll be just as excited as me to see this new edition, which is, of course, on Blu-ray, DVD, and I believe 4K as well. All these new editions, which we're seeing now, finally released and out into the, you know, the populace that is out there when it comes to film and cinema. I'm Adam O'Brien. I'm the Lethal Mullet. Welcome to the channel.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about Deep Thought, and Deep Thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide, who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself. Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course Dan the Man from Birmingham, all on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor. Tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back.
It's an interesting movie. It is one which has got one of the greatest non-martial arts, may I say, punch-ups put to cinema. Quite a long one, great one, and of course it is Roddy Piper as Nada versus Keith David, one of my favorite actors, without a doubt. Keith David always delivers interesting performances, a great character actor, and you know, all the way back to Platoon and Men at Work and other films I've seen him in. And from there on, he's delivered some of the greats. And, of course, in the Chronicles of Riddick and Riddick Pitch Black film, of course, fantastic sci-fi, which we'll one day cover here because I quite like the Riddick universe. It's the one Vin Diesel role which, you know, keeps delivering the goods. You know, it's not just about cars going to space and all that rubbish that's, you know, Fast 20 by the time they get to it. But, you know, this is cinema. This is what it is. It's outlandish. It's fantasy. It's all those things. Now, before we get into that film and many others here tonight, we're going to look at, of course, where you can find this show and many others like it, of course, on the new home of Lethal Mullet. And that is, of course, the one and the only Fandom Podcast Network, of course, where we're celebrating the state of condition of being a fan of someone or something on fpnet.podbean.com.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU Podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Of course, over there, we have many shows which, you know, you've got to go over if you like everything from American football to the latest pop culture to always, you know, always when it comes to Marvel and Star Wars and Star Trek and Doctor Who. Who? Mr. Hadley, could you let us know? Who are you talking about? And, of course, we've got everything from there, a huge array of Star Trek shows. If you're into Star Trek, folks, this is the place to be. We've got everything from my own show with, of course, Mark Newbold, Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast. We've also got a myriad of other shows, not only just the FPN shows, but a new bunch which you have to check out. And, of course, everyone is incredibly passionate about that series, along with Star Wars, of course, with What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, or Waypodge, as I like to call it, Waypodge. Or Wapodge, or hey man, it's Wapodge, come on. Is that how they say it over the States? I have no idea. But of course, Waypodge, and of course, with Scott and Derek, who are two of our amazing buddies over there. Of course, if you're into popping.com, go and check it out. Many other shows, which we'll get into, of course. The men behind this fantastic channel, of course, would start with, of course, Kyle Wagner, FPN co-founder and host of Culture Clash. And, you know, the man behind many of the great edits when it comes to this channel. You know, he really gets in and puts in an effort above and beyond. He's the busiest man in podcasting, let me at least say that. But also, great buddy, and one that, you know, you can talk till the cows come home when it comes to action films, sci-fi, loves his Marvel, loves his DC, and, of course, loves his Gundam, folks. That's right. Well, we've done a number of shows looking at anime, and, of course, you know, we all like Gundam. You know, Gundam's one of the longest running. It's not like others, like Robotech and others, which have sort of come here and back, and Voltron and Star Blazers and Bubblegum Crisis and Neon Genesis Evangelion, all those other great shows, but, you know, This man knows all about it. And of course, he's a massive Ghost in the Shell fan, folks. May I say? A Ghost in the Shell fan. He loves it. And who wouldn't? Of course, big shout out to the man when it comes to the role of Batal, of course. Batal himself, Richard Epcar. Big shout out to you, fella. And all the greatness that you've done in anime for years, because the two of us are huge fans of you. And we know how much of a good pal you are of the show. Now, jumping forward from, of course, all the way on the, well, folks, the East Coast to the West Coast, of course, California, we have our other co-founder, FBN co-founder and host of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast, Kevin the Radio Nerd Reitzel. That's right. Kevin, of course, dear pal for many years, even hit it off with a couple of shows I was involved in years and years ago, of course. The old Jogcast Radio, the old Star Wars show that we did. And, of course, he came in and, celebrated his fandom of Star Wars at the time. We were talking about everything from Quinlan Vos, the Jedi-to-be, folks. There's the dreadlock Jedi. I'm stumbling for words when it comes to just how great a role that is, particularly for George Lucas creating this character, which, is 2 seconds in, of course, The Phantom Menace and becomes such a huge one. But, of course, we shared our passion for that and been friends ever since. And, of course, Kevin started this amazing channel along with Kyle, and look at him now. And, of course, the flagship show being Culture Clash and the second biggest one, of course, being Blood of Kings. And, of course, he's a huge Highlander fan, predominantly of the TV show and, of course, their films as well. But, I've learned so much over the years from this amazing gentleman when it comes to, the Highlander fandom and, of course, what it means to everyone all over the world. It is a massive franchise and I enjoy it too. And, of course, I enjoy the friendship of this great fella. And, of course, him and his, of course, wife, Erin, are headed to the Australian Isles here, heading down to Victoria. As we say, of course, it's 2 states away from where I am here in Queensland. And, of course, huge shout out to them as they go down and enjoy, well, I'm sure they'll enjoy the chilling weather down there because, of course, Kevin, #Kevin, they're going to enjoy Melbourne and all haunts down there, which are just fantastic. And, of course, our dear friend Blair will be joining them as well. And, of course, the Lethal Mullet. Well, yes, you can find it here. And not only that, you can find it at the Lethal Mullet on all socials. That's right. We're starting to spread out to everything when it comes to the social media giants. You can find us on Twitter on this one. We post a lot of the shows on there. Chat to our dear friends over in everywhere from the United States to abroad, all over the place. And of course, all over Australia, #Australia. And we look at everything when it comes to the films and chat to everyone about what they love about movies and, of course, action stars, martial arts, and much, much more. Of course, yeah, we're big on martial arts films here, folks. Yeah. Yep, we are, and we're going to be enjoying a lot of that this year. About to hit the midpoint, we're going to be looking at some Richard Norton, some Cynthia Rothrock, Don the Dragon Wilson. We'll be looking at Lauren Avedon. We'll be also looking at some even some great Hong Kong stuff that you probably haven't seen or heard of before from the 90s, and not just the Jackie Chan films, the Yuen Biu, and of course Sammo Hung. We're going to look at some of the others because there's some really talented martial artists out there and, performers, folks. At the end of the day, they're performing for you, putting their bodies on the line for the amazing stuff that you're going to be seeing and, of course, more of that as we head into, of course, our chatter here. And, of course, They Live. So They Live's got an interesting history. Here's a film, you can see it. Of course, the sunglasses we're going to talk about in a sec. But, this is a film which for years I wasn't able to see. I'd seen, I think, about a third of it on TV, and for whatever reason, we weren't able to complete our watch of it at the time. But what's interesting, folks? It always comes back. Movies come back, and particularly on this channel, the Lethal Mullet Network, we strive to do what we can to give you, all that comes to that. And, of course, here, as it heads into, of course, talking about films like this, The Lethal Mullet is all about bringing that together and bringing not only the greatness that is action films for you to enjoy, but also to let you know how it all came about. Because they might start with an idea, but there's so many people behind these movies.
when it comes down to it. It's not just the writer and the director, it's the action stars, it is the stunt people, it is the caterers, is, you know, the gaffers, the cameramen, the cinematographers, it's everything. To come together like a piece of music, folks, big orchestra giving you the visual experience. Well, the music too. and so with this one, this is one of the buttes in which everything was firing on all cylinders, and particularly with Roddy Piper coming into this, it's an interesting watch, folks. Let's just say that. But the film itself was hard to find in Australia in the late 80s, early 90s. It was about on VHS if you could find it. So very hard to find. But when I did finally find a copy of VHS, half the tape was chewed, which was a running gag, I guess, with a lot of, you know, the material you found on VHS shelves. You know, you'd be flicking through and you'd find a VHS, you know, and it'd be great, chuck the video in, and off you go. If it's a new release, 9 times out of 10, it was good, folks. And the heads of the machine wouldn't chew up that bit of tape for you so that you could actually watch these films and enjoy the beauty of what those are. And, you know, They Live is one of those. It really is. It's a film which obviously is a little bit like some of the other work that Carpenter has done, particularly with Kurt Russell. You know, he's dabbled in science fiction, fantasy before. We've got films like, of course, Big Trouble in Little China, Prince of Darkness. We've also got, apart from that, the big one, The Thing, which without a doubt is probably the piece de resistance of course, of Carpenter's work. It is a fantastic film, which has been copied a million times, but also it got its own self-named prequel, which has got one of the best mum jokes to start a film. So go and check that out. but also one of the great things about it is just, you know, it really makes you question at the end, is Keith David or Kurt Russell the thing who made their way through? And that is an interesting proposition. Of course, had a great game after it as well, which you could get on the original Xbox, which pitted a Special Forces team going back into, of course, the area and trying to find out what happened to the team, what happened to the actual events in that, of course, setting. So with that, let's have a look at the film itself. And, of course, it's the right time too, because a couple of years ago we got this new edition, which came out in 2018. In Australia, I didn't see these on shelves till about 2019, thereabouts. And, of course, this is a Classics Remastered, which was, I do believe it's the Studio Canal line of films, so films like First Blood, the Rambo films, this one, and a few others around the place. And basically it's been cleaned up quite a bit. You know, when it comes to remastering, they really have done a fantastic job and outdone themselves. The picture and the sound quality, you know, is better than it ever was. Now, this edition is, yes, the DVD, but I do also have the Blu-ray edition, which, you know, again, getting that HD quality, folks, at 1080, and it's it looks fantastic. It's glorious. Now, having said that, this is a great edition because you get quite a few amazing things on it, which you didn't get on the original DVD. Original DVD just had the behind the scenes pretty much, and that's about it pretty much. But in this version, you get an audio commentary with, of course, John Carpenter and Roddy Piper, which is great. You get the original EPK, or in this case, the electronic press kit, which is the making of They Live. You also get cast and crew profiles, fake commercials for the movie. You know, it's an interesting thing. It being a satire, it's somewhat like Robocop, if you like, which we have those sort of things in. It's got a photo gallery, behind the scenes, independent thoughts with, of course, John Carpenter, The Woman of Mystery, an interview with, of course, Meg Foster. Meg Foster's in this, folks. Fantastic. Of course, we're talking about Eva Lynn from, of course, Masters of the Universe. And, of course, she starred in many other movies in the 80s and still is doing a fantastic job as far as I see it. Man vs. Alien, an interview with Keith David. Because Keith has got a huge part in this film. We'll talk about in a sec. All right, so let's get the hard data, folks. Here we go. So the film stars Roddy Piper as Nada, basically the man with no name. And this is what makes this part interesting, is that, you know, it's pretty much following a little bit of a Western aesthetic. You know, it's something that no one would really think would be the way. I mean, you look at it, you look at the cover, and it doesn't really look like a Western as such, does it? But no, it really looks like a science fiction. That's what I saw straight away, mainly because, yes, you've got an alien in it. Yes, there's aliens in this film, folks. Don't let that fool you. It's a 1988 science fiction action horror. And I would say comedy. There's a little bit of that, but it's more the satire style. Directed by, of course, John Carpenter, written by him, based on a short story. Novella, I was going to say that, but it's a short story. And it, of course, it's called 8 O'Clock in the Morning. It was by a writer by the name of Ray Nelson. So, again, taking sort of a kernel of an idea and turning into these films, which is just huge. So he plays in this, sorry, Roddy Piper plays a unnamed drifter, or Nardo, as we say in the cast list. And this drifter discovers special sunglasses that basically give off the vision of what is around him. And, of course, the vision is that there's a ruling class of aliens ruling the Earth, subjugating us. And, of course, and with that, too, basically turning our world into a third world planet. Not country, third world planet. And, of course, with this, it comes through subliminal messages that are shot out through, of course, billboards and different things like that, TV, all that sort of stuff. And it's an interesting idea on brainwashing your people. It is. It's a bit of a satire and I guess a look in the lens of what it was like to live in the time, in the US in particular. This is something that Carpenter even come up with here, the times of Ronald Reagan. You know, Ronald Reagan, of course, his Star Wars project and all that sort of craziness that was the 1980s. So for this, of course, with the whole idea, this bringing up, of course, the pop culture with it, politics, but what it means to be commercial, I guess, too, at the same time. Now, the film itself was considered a minor success, if you like, but really, at the end of the day, this is one of the best action films of the 80s, and we're going to go into why, but also just a damn good film. Right, so it's got a great premise. It's got a great cast. You know, we're really in with Roddy Piper's character. He's the, you know, the window into this crazy world, and really just sets out everything from the basics of things like the street art in the movie. You know, going down the street into, of course, the world that Nada sees, and it's fantastic. So, how does the film start? So, it starts with Nada coming to Los Angeles looking for a job. He's out of work. He needs to find work. So from here, he comes across a number of people, one of them being a preacher who says basically he's warning him that the rich and powerful are out to get humanity. They're out to get to control and hold humanity for what it means to be human. And in this case, holding them as a workforce, slaving them out. You know, the story itself kind of has the feel of V. In some ways, in that way, except, well, it's a little bit different with V. And I'll tell you why just after this short break. There we go, a bit of a technical gaffe we had to fix there, folks. So, getting back to what I was just about to say, what we're looking at with this being close to V is that it is, you know, particularly the start is, we get this, you know, group of aliens. In this case, they're already here. They're already among us. They're already controlling us. And, you know, everyone is oblivious to it, except for, of course, the preacher, who is going to bring, of course, Nada into this situation, Roddy Piper as well, being, you know, really playing the character well, but he's got hope for humanity. He's got hope for people around him and thinks the best of those. When there's even, you know, a lot of cynical characters that we're going to meet in this too. So from here, Nada finds work at a construction site and he meets Frank, played by, of course, Keith David. And this is where he's then taken by Frank to a shanty town. And basically, he goes there to get somebody to sleep, obviously, and to get food. And it's a, you know, soup kitchen there as well. And it's all led by this man by the name of Gilbert. So from here, of course, being the snoop that he is, he's snoopy about finding out what is going to happen around him too. And Nada, of course, starts following those that are leading the camp to an interesting little house. And in that house, it looks like a church. He can hear hymns and stuff like that being played, sung, etc. But he snoops inside. And what does he find? Sunglasses. That's right, folks, sunglasses, which is going to play into what this is all about. So, of course, he takes some of the sunglasses with him. And, you know, then the old camp is raided by the police. As he leaves, he goes into town and heads into an area where he starts putting on the sunglasses on the street. As he looks around him, he starts seeing freaky images. These images are of those humans that are around him and exactly what they are. So what you see is kind of like a black and white image, but in that image you get to see the aliens' faces and stuff like that. And, of course, they're talking into these little watches, and they say, "He has spotted us." And, of course, the hunt is on. And like films like Hard Target, this film kind of takes it up a notch about at that point. Once he's figured it out, he is trying to, of course, tell those around him to put the sunglasses on, one of them being Frank that he's befriended. As he goes around, obviously the big thing in this is that he is able to then, of course, bring more into his army. And, of course, those that are in part, of course, the camp earlier already know about this. And, of course, they're building up an arsenal of their own. Now, Frank doesn't want to have a borrow this. He thinks things are going well, and he doesn't want to rock the boat. So what is interesting is that he then, by Nada, is forced to put on the glasses. But before he does that, they had a fist fight of fist fights, folks. This is Roddy Piper and Keith David going at it, hammer and tongs. You know they've beaten the living daylights out of each other and done it WWF, or in this case now, WWE style. It's great. It's fantastic. They really do it well. And it if anything, works to the strength of Roddy. You know, Roddy, obviously being a former wrestler, is thrown around with no dramas at all and knows how to break the fall. You know, he was in catch wrestling before that too. So he's done a number of different times, of course, of falling. And, of course, in this case, getting back up and going at it again. It is fantastic. And, of course, then we have this amazing climax where we start to unravel the story more and we get to see that the aliens have been here for quite a while and they're bringing more and more people over. And of course, part of that is to turn us into a colony, if that case. It is great. It's fantastic. And if anything, the story doesn't quite end how you would think it was. It's quite a grim end. And, of course, Nada and the others don't quite make it. This is bleak. It is definitely different for, you know, the kind of stories that we're used to. And, of course, the shootouts and stuff like that towards the end make it that action-packed 80s thing that you've always wanted. Plus, you know, the story's got a mullet, folks, being, of course, Nada in that too. So that's the story pretty much in a nutshell. So it was based on, of course, the story 8 o'clock in the morning by Larry Nelson. It was produced by Larry Franco, starring, of course, this cast we've just talked about. Cinematography by Gary B. Kimmel. And we've also got, and this was edited by Gib Jaff and, of course, Frank E. Jimenez. It was also with music put together by both Alan Howarth and, of course, John Carpenter. One of the great things I like about John Carpenter, he is a musician, you know, and that comes out in all the work that he's done. And it's always great and fantastic. It was put out by Alive Films and, of course, Larry Franco Productions and distributed by, of course, Universal. So when you got out here in Australia, it was distributed, it was put out, of course, by Universal here as well. And even though Coralco now was doing that at that time, now taken over by, of course, Studio Canal. It was released on November 4, 1988 and, you know, it just ranks in just under 100 minutes. Now, the budget was $3 million. It's not a lot of money for a film to, you know, get out there. But I think they did a fantastic job in getting it out there because in North America alone, it did $13 million. It's pretty cool. So along with, of course, Roddy and Keith, we have Meg Foster in this as Holly Thompson, somebody who gets embroiled in, of course, in the action and, you know, really has quite a role towards the end there too. Raymond St. Jacques as the street preacher, interesting role in this too. We also have as the collaborator in this one too, George Buckflower, who's a drifter as well. Peter Jason is Gilbert. Peter Jason, who's in so many of the great works, of course, of Carpenter, but also Deadwood and, you name it, folks. He's done it. He's a great actor. We've also got Cy Richardson in this as well, Susan Blanchard, Norman Alden as the construction foreman, and, of course, Kerry Russell as the second unit guard too. So, unless this is a film about, you know, obviously political commentary, and, of course, it comes down to, as we said earlier, you know, it was all about the dissatisfaction that, you know, somebody like Carpenter would have with, of course, you know, Ronald Reagan at the time, who was, of course, president. And, you know, it was a time where everyone was talking about Reagan and how, you know, he was changing things, doing things, you know, to basically, you know, come about his era, if you like. So part of that was to show the aliens as that sort of political commentary. And, you know, it really worked. And I think, if anything, it shows, you know, warning bells when things aren't going right politically, or in case of the not following where things should for their own country. So this is based on 8 o'clock in the morning by Ray Nelson. And that was first put out, of course, the magazine of fantasy and science fiction. Something I used to frequent magazines like this too, for the great short stories and imagination of newer writers, and even just some famous ones used to use it too. And there was also the fact that, you know, this is an interesting story that really brings you into a world which, you know, whether you like it or not, it is an alien environment in its own, not just the aliens being in there, but the fact that the world's changed like that too. So with this too, Carpenter decided to put this into the film, and, you know, there's touches of other sort of feels of science fiction, etc., but I think it's an interesting addition no matter what. So Nada was cast, and now this being, of course, Roddy Piper being in the role. And what's interesting is that, you know, he'd been using at that time Kurt Russell for a lot of his films, you know, Big Trouble in Little China, The Thing, of course, Escape from New York and L.A. And this one he went something different. After he'd been to WrestleMania 3 back in 1987, Carpenter met, of course, you know, this interesting individual, Roddy Piper. Rowdy Roddy Piper, who was always an interesting heel or villain, you know, of the wrestling environment. I was huge into wrestling as a kid, particularly in the 80s and early 90s, ever in the Ultimate Warrior. But Rowdy Roddy Piper was one of my faves. And obviously, towards the end here, he's moving into films. And, of course, you know, there's Hell Comes to Frogtown and others that he did as well and did well. And Sci Fighters, which we've covered here on this network too, folks. So what is interesting is, you know, life really is something that plays into, you know, the man himself, the late, great Roddy Piper. He looks like he's lived it. He looks like he's, you know, faced everything, and he's tough. And plus, he was in Highlander, folks, as well. So it was shot in a very short time, 8 weeks in March and April of 1988. And, of course, it's classic environment of downtown LA, folks. It really looks like it. And, of course, you know, the budget itself, very tight. You know, you see everything you see on screen is there, folks, and done quite well. The big thing is, you know, they spent a lot on sunglasses. This one too. Of course, John Carpenter's music is in here, the keyboards, the guitars, the drums, that sort of classic thing that you get, of course, with these ones as well. So it came out, of course, in 88, released and on, of course, DVD. In the last few years here in Australia, and you can get in a lot of packs as well. Obviously, this edition's a bit different, you know. I think what's interesting is this edition gives you all that sort of stuff as well, but you can get all of John Carpenter's current classic works in these new classics remastered. Of course, The Great Escape from New York, which we'll be covering in a couple of weeks' time here, and, of course, Escape from L.A. We're going to be looking at both those movies, why they're classics too, and it's because they're bringing them back out, mate. Tell you, they're bringing them out well, which we'll talk about then when they do Anyway, how they do it well. So the film is obviously one that's, you know, got a hell of a legacy as well, and one that I do believe has, you know, well, obviously brought about sequel ideas and stuff like that. Something that I do believe John Carpenter was talking about was doing, you know, two, either not exactly sequels, but, you know, films that still deal with the aliens themselves. And it was going to be ones that was along the same sort of feel. And one was, I think, called They Love or something like that. And I'm not sure about the other one. But again, it would have been, I guess, a more comedic look at this sort of universe, at least alone but being something that is, you know, in its heart, an actual action film. This film is, folks, and it gets 5 out of 5 on, of course, the scale here. Our finger scale and the Hallenbach scale here on Lethal Mullet Podcast. Folks, hope you've enjoyed the show. Hope you've enjoyed this look at They Live. If you haven't, you need to see it because it's got one of the greatest fight scenes ever put to film. Of course, you can find us here at the Phantom Podcast Network, fbnet.podbean.com, along with, of course, all the other great stuff on the social networks. And, of course, that is The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and many others. And, of course, that's us here, folks, chatting about They Live tonight, episode number 229. We'll catch you next time here on the network.
I sit here waiting, contemplating what's the best day. Watching that movie, I'm the lethal mullet. Wow, I'm the lethal. Wow, I'm the lethal. Oh, I'm the lethal mullet.